Hi, I'm Emma, and this is the Creative Edition. Our mission is to inspire creatives to discover, grow, and own their brand. Today, we're going to be chatting about completing your stress response cycle. If you've never heard of your stress response cycle before, you are not alone. I didn't know what a stress response cycle was until January, when I finally picked up and started reading the book Burnout, The Secret to Unlocking the Stress Cycle by Emily Nagoski and Emilia Nagoski. I'm currently reading the book, friends. I'm literally just in like the first few chapters and I'm blown away by what I've learned so far. And as a creator, a new mom, a former aerospace project manager, a former graduate student working full-time, a former college student, and more, I've dealt with stress for as long as I can remember, and you probably have too if you've been any of those things or going through any big life changes or just dealing with the day-to-day of life stresses. I wish I had a book like this in my early 20s because it really breaks down like why stress happens and helps you understand how to cope with it. And so today I wanted to share one of the main things that I've learned within this book so far. But before we dive in and start to discuss, you know, what the stress response cycle is and how to complete it, I thought it'd be helpful if we broke down stress versus stressors, which is something that I really appreciate that the authors Emily and Emilia broke down. So stressors can be internal or external. You might be dealing with internal stresses, or you might be dealing with external stresses, or you're probably dealing with a combination of both. Internal stressors look like body image, identity, memories, and the future. External stressors look like money, finances, work, family, time, housework, cultural norms, and expectations. So, for example, getting married, having kids, going to college, etc. And those are all stressors, friends, whereas stress is actually a neurological and physiological shift that happens in your body when your body encounters one of those stressors or a perceived threat. One thing to keep in mind, friends, is that stress is not bad. Through evolution, our stress response has helped humans cope with threats like being chased by a lion or finding shelters from storms. When our bodies experience stress, neurological and hormonal activity happens in our bodies to help us survive. That's right, friends. So stress literally has helped us survive all the different threats that we've encountered, you know, throughout the human evolution and history. It's really helped humans survive for the last, you know, thousands of years. But in modern times, we aren't being chased by lions, but we're still experiencing stress. And our minds and bodies are actually change and respond to the perceived threats and stressors that we are experiencing. So here's, friends, what happens when your body enters a stressed out state. And if you've ever experienced any of these things, know that you're not alone. I feel like I go through each of these things each and every day. So here's what happens. Your muscles might tense, your sensitivity to pain drops, your memory shifts, and your brain is focused on the short term because your brain's saying, okay, we got to focus on like what's happening right now to make sure that we can survive this threat. Your senses are heightened, your heart beats faster, your blood pressure increases, and you might breathe more quickly. And 1,000 years ago, we would have run away from the lions or found shelter, you know, from the storm with your friends, family, you know, the group of hunter and gatherers that you might have been staying with. We would have completed the stress cycles. And when we complete those stress cycles, we tell our bodies that we are safe and we can return to a more regulated state. But in today's day and age, we are not running away from lions. What ends up happening is that most of us stay in that stressed out state. And one thing I've learned from this book is that we have to complete the stress cycle. All right, friends, so let's jump into it. You know, now that we've broken down stress versus stressor, there are actually 6 ways to complete the stress cycle. So the very first way is physical activity. This is the most efficient way to complete the stress cycle. Any movement between 20 to 60 minutes can help your body complete the stress cycle and get your body in a more regulated state. Moving your body can look like walking, dancing, running, rowing, yoga, boxing, bar class, etc. There's many, many different ways to move your bodies. If, you know, running is not for you, maybe it's Pilates. If Pilates is not for you, maybe it's Zumba. Or maybe there's, you know, other ways out there. Maybe it's bouncing on a trampoline, or maybe it's a ballet class, right? Whatever it is, physical activity actually tells your brain and body that you have survived that stressor or threat and your body is safe. So when people, those online articles, your therapist, or maybe your best friend tells you that exercise is good for you, this is one of the main reasons why. Exercise literally helps you burn your stress and improves your health and mood. And personally, friends, exercise has been my go-to way to manage my stress levels for as long as I can remember. And as a new mom, moving my body looks like daily walks, Peloton rides, runs around the neighborhoods, or YouTube workouts. And right now, friends, my workouts are short. It's 15 to 20 minutes because that's all I really have time for. And that's all I can do right now to integrate with my schedule. And then, friends, I actually look back at my college experience. And so when did I start? I guess I started doing sports in sixth grade. I was like not one of those kids where my parents put me in gymnastics at 3 years old. I actually started doing sports in sixth grade. I joined the gymnastics team. And then from there, started exploring sports, running track. And then in high school, I also picked up cross country. And so through middle school and high school, I was always moving my body. And, you know, it was such a great way to obviously, like, you're not paying attention as a kid. You don't think like, oh, I'm working out, but, you know, moving your body, connecting with a community, you know, working towards a goal, like all of that was like really fun and healthy for me. And then when I entered my freshman year of college, it was like the first time I didn't have sports. Like I usually falls like cross country time, at least in high school, you know, where I went to high school, and I wasn't running and I didn't know how to like work out at the gym because I always had, you know, sports and different things. And so I remember my freshman year of college. I mean, college is already like, I feel like very stressful, especially in your first year. You're adjusting, you might be on your own for the first time. And, you know, you're just like dealing with so much newness and at the University of Washington, it's a quarter system. So you're learning, you know, you're in class for 10 weeks. So it's so much faster than, you know, like a high school where you might have a whole year or you run on semesters. And so anyways, it was like a lot of transition. I was not working out. I was very stressed out. And then I realized like coming out of fall quarter and winter quarter that like I really like had to move my body, and I started feeling better once I started running. And so it was like never my intention to like become a distance runner. I only ran cross country because all my friends did it and they were like, you need a sport. But that was, running was something that I could take with me. Like with gymnastics, like I couldn't go and like, you know, tumble around on a floor or, you know, find bars or a beam. I mean, maybe I could have, but college, I realized, oh, running is like one thing that I can take with me. And that's when I really started running and I started feeling better. And I started being like, okay, I can manage this. I'm just adjusting. And for me, like, again, like learning that like running was like a main way. And then I started going to the gym, right? I found, you know, different ways to complete the stress cycle in college. And to this day, like running is like still one of the ways that I'm able to manage my stress levels. So let's get into the second way to complete the stress cycle, and that's positive social interaction. So did you know that casual, friendly social interactions is a sign that the world is a safe place? And if you've never heard of this before and you're wondering, what the heck does a positive social interaction look like? It might look as simple as saying hello to your neighbors as you walk through your neighborhood, or it might look like exchanging a few polite words to your barista. You know, sometimes, you know, if you're picking up your coffee or your tea, right, you might chat with the barista, ask them how their day is going, or, you know, you might chat about something else like the coffee or the tea. A positive social interaction might also look like having a conversation with someone seated on your row on the airplane. And the thing is, friends, you don't actually have to wait for positive social interactions to happen to you. You can initiate them yourself. You can say hello to your neighbors. You can compliment your coworker's jacket, or you can say something nice to your barista. It's so funny, friends. This is like kind of related, but if you guys have watched the Blue Zone series on Netflix, they like study, I think, the 7 different blue zones where a blue zone is technically, I think, like where they have the most people living past the age of 100. And They looked at all these different areas. Like there's one in Okinawa, Japan. There's another one in Southern California. And they were looking at these communities. And one of the things that they said was that these positive social interactions, I think they have maybe a different phrase for it, but they really matter. Like being able to say hello to your mailman or your mailwoman, or being able to chat with someone at the grocery store, right? All of these things actually help you manage your stress levels and help you complete the stress cycle. Because again, it reinforces that, you know, not everything is a threat, not everyone sucks, and that, you know, the world is actually a safe place. All right, friends, a third thing that can help complete that stress cycle is affection. So hugs, kisses, holding hands are a few examples of affection. And affection usually comes from someone we love, respect, and trust. But affection can also look like petting our dogs and cats. So if your love language is physical touch, or you just want to incorporate more affection in your life, you can try the 20-second hug. Research has shown that a 20-second hug can lower your blood pressure and heart rate and also improve your mood. One thing that I realized, like I think especially like having Braxton and also our dog Boone, right? It's like these two right now, it's so funny. They're like not competing for attention. I shouldn't say that because, you know, they obviously like just want to be loved, right? But like affection is like one of the ways, right, that helps us feel safe and secure, especially with the ones that we love. And for you, right, maybe you're like, ooh, 20 seconds is a really long time. Maybe you just want to hug for as long as it's like, just not just like that quick hug. Maybe it's a 10-second hug, right, where you just are able to relax and like feel good, you know, hugging, whether it's your partner or your mom or your dad or, you know, a best friend, right? And so, yeah, we say 20 seconds, but within the book, they say hug for as long as it feels good. So another way to help you manage your stress and complete that stress cycle is breathing. So if you are dealing with the stress of an upcoming work presentation, maybe you get really nervous, like presenting in front of your coworkers or presenting, you know, in front of your manager, or you're sitting in the traffic trying to get home and there's a car accident and you can't go anywhere, there's no room for physical activity inside your car, breathing might be an effective way for you to deal with that stress and help you complete the stress cycle. Slow, deep breaths can downregulate your stress response. And one thing that you can try is the 4-7-8 breathing technique. So you breathe in for 4 seconds. So hold your breath for 7 seconds and then exhale for 8 seconds. That long exhale allows your belly to contract and slow your heart rate down. I feel like if you've ever done yoga or Pilates, right, you know that your breath is one of the main ways you engage your core, engage, you know, different like power stances, also helps you like relax and like get in tune with like where you're holding your stress. Sometimes when we breathe, right, and we exhale, we are able to relax our shoulders, relax our face, relax our jaw, relax our hands. There's lots of, I feel like most of us don't realize how much we're tightening up and holding, you know, like our stress within our bodies, and breathing helps us release all of that. And so if you're new to breathing and you're like, I don't know how to do this 4-7-8 technique, my tip for you, friends, if you download one of those meditation apps, there's Calm, there's Headspace. You don't even have to download an app. You could get on YouTube and like search breathing techniques, right? Or like mindful breathing techniques, and just go like with it. And it really does help. I think one thing with breathing, I think it's something we just take for granted because you just naturally breathe and you don't think about it. But when you have some intention behind it, and again, you're like thinking about, okay, I'm going to take this moment and I'm going to take, you know, 1 minute, 3 minutes, 5 minutes to breathe, slow my heart rate down, feel grounded, and, you know, try to deal with what's in front of me right now. Or maybe you're just going to say, I just want to quiet my mind and then I'll be able to like deal with what's going on. Only good can come from it. I've heard so many people say that like breathing, meditation, especially with it, like has really changed their lives. And for me, sometimes if I'm feeling worked up, I will just, you know, do that 4-7-8 technique. It's not always for 4 seconds. Sometimes I breathe in for 5 seconds. I think the big thing to keep in mind is just you want to make sure your exhale is longer than you holding your breath. All right, friends, another way to complete the stress cycle is through creative expression. So if you're a creator, a maker, an actor, someone who identifies as a creative, this is good news for you because engaging in creative activities leads to more energy and excitement. So whether you're painting, crocheting, writing, or glass blowing, artistic expressions creates a context or an environment that allows us to express our emotions. So if you're a songwriter, you might write a song that helps you process and heal from a breakup. I feel like some of our favorite artists do this, right? Like Taylor Swift has whole albums about love, breaking up, you know, finding it, healing, you know, like loving yourself, whatever that may be. If you're a graphic designer, you might be inspired by love or a new life stage to create new digital prints or designs. If you're a dancer, you might process your feelings of frustration into a new contemporary or hip-hop routine or, you know, or just like a whole new dance piece where you get other dancers to dance what you're feeling. And for me, friends, as a creator, I process, reflect, reset, and regulate through writing. Literally, like writing out captions, writing out podcast episodes, writing out blog posts, even though I have not written a blog post in a long time. I feel like writing is still one way I'm able to process and just, you know, get things off my mind because it gives me a space to, you know, put those emotions down and like have a space for it. And so, again, doesn't matter what type of creative or maker, creator you are, know that engaging in whatever creative activity fills your heart is actually great for helping you complete that stress cycle response. Another way to complete the stress response, and you probably might know this, maybe you don't. This is one way I feel like when I get overwhelmed, I always naturally turn to this, and that's crying. Know that it's actually okay to cry, and crying helps you complete your stress cycle. It's one way your body releases the stress, like physically releases the stress. And research has shown that crying can reduce pain, as shedding tears release oxytocin and endorphins. I feel like as a new mom, friends, I have cried so much in like the last 7 months. And it's not that like I don't like being a mom or, you know, I'm like mad at the situation, but there's a lot of stress with becoming a new mom, right? Like I was really stressed about feeding, breastfeeding. I was really stressed about, you know, making sure Braxton was eating enough. I was really stressed when I wasn't getting enough sleep. Like there's a lot of just like stressors of becoming a new mom. And I cried a lot. And one thing Brandon said, he's like, it's good for you to cry. It means that like you're dealing with it. And I just needed to be reminded of this. Like when I read this in the book, I was like, yeah, that's just my body's way of like completing the stress cycle and acknowledging that what I'm going through is difficult. It is hard, but I'm safe and I'm okay. And so when I need to cry, friends, I just cry. Cry. If you feel like you need to cry, just do it. You know, if you don't want to cry in public, I get it. Maybe you just want to go back home, you know, and sit in your bed and cry. But hopefully that helps you, you know, feel a little bit of relief afterwards. All right, friends. And the last way to help complete your stress cycle, and it's fun, it's kind of opposite of crying, is laughter. Laughing with your friends, family, and community is good for you. It also helps you go through this stress cycle and complete it. Laughter can stimulate circulation and muscle relaxation. Laughter can cool down your stress response cycle as it can increase and decrease both your heart rate and blood pressure. Laughter also helps you connect with other people. Laughing with friends and family can also increase relationship satisfaction. And so maybe for you, friends, you're like laughing. I think it's like, I feel like, you know, unless you're like watching like a Netflix comedy special, right? Like you may not find like laughter day to day, especially if you have a stressful job or you're going through a specific season of life, right? And so I think one way to like bring laughter into your day is one thing Brandon and I do is we actually will like show each other funny videos at the end of the day. And then, you know, sometimes they're like funny dog videos, or maybe it's just sometimes like a funny skit or like a comedian, right? I feel like that's like one way we've been able to do that. For you, maybe it is watching, you know, different like comedy specials on streaming services like Netflix, or maybe for you, it's watching a funny show. I think whatever it is, just like embracing laughter and embracing it with friends and family, just know that that is actually really good for you. All right, friends. So before we wrap up today's episode, we discussed the 6 ways to complete the stress cycle. And I hope going through the different 6 ways helps you recognize that hopefully you are already have found a way to help deal with the stress, or hopefully this encourages you to explore a different way to complete your stress cycle. So the first thing we discussed was physical activity. It's the most efficient way to complete the stress cycle. Maybe for you, it's walking, maybe it's rowing, maybe it's bar class. Next is positive social interaction. And this can be as small as saying hello to your neighbors or saying hi to your barista. Another way to complete the stress cycle is through affection. So think of those hugs, those kisses, holding hands, or even just snuggling with your dogs and cats. Additionally, breathing is a great way to help you deal with your stress, you know, and help you, you know, downregulate that stress response. And we discussed the 4-7-8 breathing technique, where you breathe in for 4 seconds, hold your breath for 7, and exhale for 8 seconds. Also, we talked about creative expression, which is great if you're listening to this podcast, because you're probably a creator or creative or a maker, right? Know that those creative activities helps you complete that stress cycle and leads to more energy and excitement. And second to last, we talked about crying. No, that's okay. It's one way you tell your body that you are safe and you are able to release that stress. And we also talked about laughter. All right, friends. So if you enjoyed today's episode, I really recommend reading Burnout. It is such a great book. And again, this was just in the first few chapters. They go through so many other ways to help you, you know, understand your stress and, you know, deal with burnout. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed today's episode, please rate, review, and recommend the podcast to a friend. If we haven't connected on Instagram yet, you can find us at Emma's Edition and at The Creative Edition. Sign up for our email newsletter and join our Facebook group, and we'll see you guys next time.